This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. If you missed any of Tuesdays with Elliot, I would say it was a good Tuesdays with Elliot, even without him being here.
Always.
And that little device he used to be on, it sounded good today.
I know. I thought. Yeah, well, because he's in a quiet hotel room with Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there you go. You need that Wi-Fi. You know, this tush push thing, it is a... I don't even know what we're talking about, but everybody loves talking about with the tush push. Though I have been swayed by Nick Sirianni. It's the first time I've ever been swayed by Nick Sirianni on anything. I came into it, I was like, who cares? And now I'm like, yes, this is not fair. What are we doing here? Anyway, 215-592-9494. We will hear some interesting audio from Jeremy Fowler about Myles Garrett and the Eagles' potential involvement in a moment. 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus, right in the middle of the lineup, five-hole hitter today. Corey, you're on WIP.
Hey, man, I got locked up in the Phillies. You know, normally y'all come on after the Phillies, so I'm watching a game. I just got locked in, you know what I'm saying? Because you know me, I'm a 3-for-4 guy, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's hard not to get locked in on some Phil spring training baseball, so I got
now, Corey, are you coming to – I was supposed to take you to a game at some point. Are you coming to Philly so I can take you to a Phillies game?
Let me know. Hey, we got scheduled that one day this summer. You know, let me know. I come through. You already know, you know.
Yep, I'm in. So what's up, man?
So listen, man, let me get this straight real quick. I'm worried about spring training. I don't even care about what's going on. And these dudes up here talking about the tush push. First of all, Sean McDermott, why are you even talking about it? We don't play y'all, and you talking about all danger.
We actually do.
It's not my fault your quarterback don't run it right. You need to worry about how y'all going to beat Patrick Mahomes because you a defensive coach, and they put 40 on y'all's head. So I need you to figure that out before you worrying about the tush push. Second of all, Green Bay Packers. Listen, Matt LaFleur, you want to wear the glasses on the sideline and do all that with the trench coat where you walk out like you Lombardi. Win something first, dog. I'm tired of y'all talking about this. That's not my fault we good and y'all can't beat us. We put in the work, that, like just like how they be doing them trick plays and Ben Johnson be passing the ball to the offensive lineman. I feel like they should rule that out. That ain't football. You're not supposed to throw the ball to the offensive lineman. Get rid of those plays. I'm sorry my quarterback and my team and my old lineman is better than yours. Stop us. Y'all want to go to crying, looking soft. I smell, you know what. Shout out House Party.
House Party.
That's what I smell. Yep. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Y'all crying about this. Also, real quick, I know y'all ain't got to it yet. I'm trying to get Myles Garrett, but I ain't giving up no young, thoroughbred, you know, raw dog on that line or the NS. I ain't giving up none of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not giving up none of that.
Just remember this, Corey.
What about Bryce Huff?
I'll pack his bags for him. I pay the shipping.
Here's what I'd say about not giving up a draft pick for Myles Garrett is that
no, I'll give up a draft pick.
Okay.
I'm not giving up the young players.
No, they're not going to need to trade players. But I saw
a goofy post from the
midday show. Did would you trade Nolan Smith in a first rounder?
Oh, well, yes. Yes. But also that we're a little high off the last couple drafts and how it works. It's very easy to go back more than 2 years and pick out players we selected in the first couple of rounds that didn't work out. And getting a player now, Myles Garrett's 29. It's not like he's 25 or something, but you have the window is now, and you have 3 prime years left of Myles Garrett, and you're going to get more likely you're going to get more production out of those 3 years than you'll get in 10 years of whatever player you pick at 32 for the next 2 years.
I'll give up the next 2 first round picks to get Myles Garrett. Bryce Huff, I don't see draft.
Let's
picks.
Let's throw him in there.
Yeah, see if they'll take him.
Draft picks, I don't. And Bryce Huff will actually be good. I feel like in Cleveland with Schwartz, that's the type of guy he like. He a hand in the ground guy. You know what I'm saying? But like a guy, like I'm not giving up an established young player. Like I'm not giving up Nolan Smith, a dude that almost broke the Eagles sack record in the playoffs this year. All the great D linemen we had, he almost broke the sack record in the playoffs. I'm not giving that dude up. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Myles Garrett, a beast. All right, but you eventually got to pay Nolan Smith. You have to pay Q. You have to play Cooper. You got to think about that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Myles Garrett ain't going to just be no 20, you know.
No.
Dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, the other thing, I think, the thing that, and thanks for the call, Corey.
I'm looking ahead
always.
To the exciting whites with Jack Sawyer.
Oh, yeah. Ike wants more white guys. we're pushing our luck, I think, maybe a little bit.
Say the lower averages.
Yeah,
it's like, catch up to us.
Yeah, tight end maybe. You know, offensive lineman maybe. Let's chill out though. Slot receiver. Let's kicker. The reason you don't see player for player trades all that much in the NFL is because the salary part of it is so complicated because of the way they spread that out. Now Nolan Smith's still on his rookie deal, mm-hmm. right? But I imagine if you trade him to Cleveland, then Cleveland's going to have to pay him at some point. So Jeremy Fowler. Oh, and one last thing. He mentioned Sean McDermott. I've said this before. Sean McDermott is the problem with the Bills. Sean McDermott is supposed to be this defensive mastermind, and they get to the championship game. It's not, people blame Josh Allen. It's not Josh Allen. They end up not being able to stop whoever they play. They should pay $20 million a year for Steve Spagnuolo. They should call Steve Spagnuolo.
Spags ain't gonna leave. Oh, you mean the money?
Yes, just money. Pay him whatever it needs to be. Have him be the head coach, but essentially defensive coordinator.
Oh.
Fire Sean McDermott. Let Spags essentially be the defensive coordinator, and let whoever's running the offense with the Buffalo Bills run the offense. They're doing a good job, and you are weakening your biggest opponent in the AFC, and you're strengthening your biggest weakness, which is your defense in big games.
Just we do play respect. Buffalo next year.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
Yes, Corey, just so you know.
All right, there you go.
Wow, that'd be a big week for Spike and I.
Well, we play the AFC West.
Yes, it will be.
We play the AFC West.
Yeah.
Ooh, Herbert.
And then we play the AFC West and the NFC North. Right, we play Detroit,
we play
Chicago,
yes.
Minnesota.
Yes, because we play Detroit.
Bay.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you play the first place teams of the other divisions.
Okay, so we do have Buffalo next year.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we should do 8 if the tush push is still legal. We should just tush push all the way down the field for Sean McDermott. So
battle the tush push.
Oh, we'll love that. So on the Myles Garrett situation here, do we have Andrew Berry as well? Can we do that first? No, we don't. Okay. Jeremy Fowler on Myles Garrett. Here's what he had to say.
This is a conversation that some people in the league have had, that the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the most aggressive, if not the most aggressive teams on the trade market, will be looking for a pass rusher. Josh Sweat, the Super Bowl likely or close MVP, could be out. The expectation is that he will sign elsewhere. So they're going to have a need there. Myles Garrett, they would not want to see him go to the Washington Commanders, for example. If that was to gain traction, Howie Roseman would likely step in, try to make a deal that is too hard for the Cleveland Browns to refuse. Keep it in mind here, the Browns are a hard no. They're still telling teams they have no interest in trading Myles Garrett. If he were to become available, several teams will be in that. Maybe the Eagles will be one.
Do you think that if the Commanders had the biggest offer, that it would incentivize Howie Roseman to offer more for Myles Garrett? Do you think that's true?
That would be interesting. Yeah, I don't.
No?
I think he would be tempted to. Listen, this may be a tough offseason for Howie from the standpoint of, I don't know how much action he's going to be involved in.
Big time
action. I do believe there is a little bit of an eye on they're going to have to pay their young players coming up. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Jordan Davis this offseason. He's eligible for an extension this offseason. Nakobe is eligible for an extension that now. He's coming off an injury, so they probably won't do anything with him. But next year, again, Jordan Davis next year, if they don't, because here's the thing with Jordan Davis. If they don't pick up his fifth-year option, which they have to do this year.
Right. After his third year.
Yes. So after his third year, they have to pick up, they have to decide whether or not they're going to pick up his fifth-year option, or he'll be going into his fourth year as a free agent.
Do you believe in Jordan Davis?
I do for what they want from him. I don't think he deserves big-time money, though.
Right.
Right? I wouldn't pay him like I'm going to pay Jalen Carter or something like that, but for what he does, run stuffer, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I could see his role there, but I also could see where they could be like, well, that could be replaced.
Yes. I mean, some games he was playing 15 snaps, 10 or 15 snaps, right?
Right.
And
then
partially that's because of how effective Milton Williams was as well, too, who will likely not be on the team, too.
But, and that also could tell you what they're going to do with Jordan Davis. If you let Milton Williams walk, because if I were them, if I'm not planning on re-signing Jordan Davis,
then I'm
keeping Milton Williams.
Yeah. He just feels, Milton Williams feels like a guy that somebody's going to overspend on.
Oh, yeah.
You
no
know,
doubt.
A guy that.
Well, Washington. I just saw they gave
Jonathan Allen.
I was going to call him Jared Allen. Jonathan Allen gave Jonathan Allen, their defensive tackle, permission to seek a trade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it must mean that they think they're going to sign somebody.
Yeah, so they must be targeting. And they could be looking at, I mean, Dan Quinn's a defensive coach. He could be looking at trying to bring in Myles Garrett and a Milton Williams. I think Washington has the most, like, salary cap.
They've got $85 million, I think, in salary cap.
A lot of money to spend.
A lot of money to spend. The Myles Garrett thing, the more that I think about it, the more I think, I know you want to think about the future and we want to have these guys that are great for 6-7 years, whatever. To me, you're looking, even if a football team is great for 10 years, you're really looking at 3 years, three years.
Yeah.
And if I'm looking at this team that was the number one defense, and that is the one thing that you could say they were weakest at was edge rusher.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who's debatably the best edge rusher in the sport who's available. It reminds me of when they went and got A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
It is like, if you have an opportunity to go get a guy who, and he's more, Myles Garrett is more proven in his position than A.J. Brown was at his at that time. Man, I don't know how you turn down that opportunity if you can make it work financially, you know?
Yeah, I think at some point it becomes too rich for their blood.
Right.
Right? They don't have the draft capital. We got 7 picks this year, none after the 5th round. So they may be looking at it like they got a 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and I think 3 5ths.
And they don't have all of their picks are at the end of each round. So they're less valuable than if they were a mid-pack team.
Yep.
All right. 215-592-9494. OG Wade, you're on WIP. What's up, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG.
Here's the deal. I think that we great add to the exciting whites. I think we great get a Max Crosby.
Oh.
Well, that'd be great, too.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Won't cost you as much either.
Yeah, I think that's what's getting ready to happen. Now, on to the thing with Nick Sirianni.
OG, are you putting your hat in the ring for Eagles Insider of the Year? Is that an official report, Max Crosby to the Eagles?
Is.
Okay.
Right. Yes,
it doesn't matter to him. Sure.
Yeah, he's got nothing to lose. Yep.
I mean, I did get us to get off the phone with Howie, though. So,
yeah, really.
Y'all watched him on TV. I was on the phone. So.
Sure,
anyway,
I bet. Yep.
So, don't get off sharp with the mouth.
All right.
I'm going to tell you about the Nick Sirianni thing. I think we got to tamper it down and be careful because right now there's a shift going on in the NFL. If you look at the Green Bay Packers and how they ran the ball, look at all the teams that's heavy running now, the way that teams are going to have to they're going to have to start putting 3 linebackers on the field like Kansas City did with us in the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And also, Washington also tried to do it. That's why you're going to see a lot of linebackers being drafted this year. Now, if Nick Sirianni tells everybody, hey, yeah, I'm going to cut back on the carries on Saquon and try to preserve him, then people are going to say, well, we don't have to go and load. You know what I mean?
they're trying to keep it open where you don't want to give out your game plan on how you wanted to attack this year. You know what I'm saying? So I do got to respect that part of it. You know what I mean? And I do think they're going to be smart with Saquon. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that we're going to utilize him the way that we've been utilizing him and going heavy like that, you know. But and also you'll look to see the Eagles draft another running back this year or probably get somebody in, you know, unrestricted free agent and sign him. But you're definitely going to have to the load up if we plan to do this. And the other thing, as far as with the tush push, it doesn't matter to me because I think that our front five offensive linemen will roll any front four or front five defensive linemen. So it only helps the fact that when we run the tush push, the way we line it up, they're able to bring in three more players to it. And then did y'all see the ESPN special on the science guy where he did the science on the tush push? He said that the two guys pushing doesn't even affect the play. He said the way that the offensive lineman is lined up and the way they attack it, that is what moving the line forward.
Well, then, if that's the case, OG, since you and Elliot want to continue to say this, then you shouldn't be opposed to it if they ban it then.
Yeah, what do you care?
Right. And I'm not. And my thing, my opposing would be that you're chickening out. Like, you got to make up a rule to take away something that Jalen Hurts created, which is
Nick Sirianni created.
No. I said,
all right,
you
stop
ain't
it.
To come in here and correct me.
And by the way, with that science, this is why people don't believe in science anymore. Is this guy saying the guys pushing him don't
right.
matter?
Yeah.
I have eyes. You know. Now I'm with Ike on the dinosaur thing, and I'm watching the tush push. The science guy saying the guys pushing him don't matter. What are we talking about? Of course it matters. I see it with my own eyes.
What I'm saying, well, my comeback to that would be that I think that it's more of a, like, when you're seeing it with your own eyes, which we're all seeing it, we do see it, but you notice they're getting way more than what they need. You know what I'm saying? It's never like really, they're just getting it. You know what I mean? Like,
sure it is.
We got two more yards than what we wanted.
Because everybody's on the line, OG. Once he gets past it, it doesn't matter if they stop him 2 yards beyond it. It definitely matters that he's getting pushed.
Hey, Spike, real quick, did you see the one that we did in the Super Bowl where it looked like it was a snowplow? Like, dumb guys just laid on the ground, and Jordan Mailata was just, and he moved the guy while he was laying flat on the ground.
It's Chris Jones, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was when Chris Jones was sideways. Yeah.
Then he tapped out. He had a fake injury. Like, he had that knee injury, man. That was so phantom.
OG, that thing was 34 to nothing, man. Everybody tapped out at 34 to nothing.
Why keep playing that? All right, OG.
Patrick done changed his whole hairstyle and every damn thing, man. He's wearing weeds now.
All right, OG.
We got him in shambles out there in Kansas City.
We do.
Man.
You know, Chris Jones lining up sideways reminds me of when James Harden was at his peak. Mm-hmm. Remember when guys would just only guard his left side?
Yep.
They
yep.
tried not even guarding the right yep. side and only standing on one side of him.
Yep.
When a play
just giving him an open lane to go right.
Yes. Anyone who says that play is like, oh, it's just okay. That's the first time I've ever seen a defensive lineman line up sideways to try to stop a play. By the way, what did he think was going to happen? I just can't even.
It's one of those things where you're like, nothing else works. It's like Frankie Louvo. He's just diving over the power. Like nothing else is working, so I may as well try this.
Might as well.
Just sneak right through. They're not even going to see that I'm here.
Yeah. And that was of a season full of amazing moments, both good and controversial. The referee in the NFC Championship game saying, if you do that again, I'm just going to award them a touchdown. Like a parent mad at the child for leaving his room dirty or something. You're not getting any TV time after 8 if you don't clean up your room. That was one of my favorite moments.
That's before you had TVs in your room, Jack.
Yeah,
I didn't get that till around college.
Really?
Yeah.
As an only child, you didn't have a TV in your room?
We had rules.
Ah.
Wow, you had to watch TV as a family.
Well, I watched by myself, but yeah.
Okay.
So you were like Chip Douglas sitting in front of the TV.
I don't know who Chip Douglas is.
Cable guy.
I don't know what that is.
It's a movie with Jim Carrey. You've never seen the cable guy?
I know Larry the Cable Guy.
No. Cable Guy's a good movie.
I met that guy. That's a different guy.
Did you?
Larry the Cable Guy. Wasn't he at Wingbo?
Get Her Done?
Get her done.
Was he ever? Yeah. He wasn't there when I was there, but he might have been. Might have been.
That's why I think I met him.
Well, he was hot in the streets in like 2013.
Right? Yeah, I met him somehow. Yeah, yeah. Larry the Cable Guy. I remember. I think we had him on. We had him. Me and Michael B. had him on.
Oh, nice.
The Cable Guy. A dark Jim Carrey movie. Kind
really?
Of a, yeah.
It is. It is a dark Jim
like
Carrey
Was he? No, that Butterfly Effect was Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher was not a comedy.
Not a comedy.
Not a comedy.
Nowhere near a comedy.
Well, you said dark.
Yeah, dark comedy.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
I'm a fan of dark comedy. Yeah,
there you go. All right. Coming up next, we continue
just to educate him. That's all we do is just educate him, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shocking. I'm a father of two, honestly.
Never seen any of these movies. At least I finally watched True Romance.
Yeah, he did.
It's good.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, you should watch it now.
Yeah,
Jay.
It's good.
Come on.
I watched the Christmas break.
Yeah. When he had
when
all that time.
When we took our break together.
Yes.
Well, you've had three more breaks since
then.
Oh,
yeah. How many breaks? When's the next return?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I bet you are. By the way, college was when I gave up TV in my room. I had TV in my room when I was a kid. I got to college, didn't have a TV.
No TV in the room?
Well, I didn't have a TV, and I decided, hey, this is much better. And my wife hates, I have a rule now, no TV in the bedroom.
What?
And she hates that rule. I'm a rule guy.
Now we got to go to break.
Okay.
I know you're not telling me you don't allow a TV in your bedroom.
I do not.
And Val goes along with this?
Well, you know, we all have our rules, and that's one of mine. That was an early rule. Well, she moved into my apartment at first.
There it is.
Well, it was my apartment.
Oh, but when I say my car, everyone has a meltdown.
Well, you didn't have that car before you got married.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's
true.
Yes.
That's different.
Well, I'm saying I literally had an apartment that Valerie literally moved into, and I didn't have a TV in the bedroom.
But then y'all moved into a house.
We did.
Twice.
And she didn't change that rule then?
We've been in five different houses.
And
two in South Philly, one in Delco, one in Springfield.
And the bedroom still doesn't have TV.
No.
Now, we don't have a TV in our bedroom either.
Yeah.
No, that was
TV
a jewel
in the bedroom, huh?
No.
All business in there.
Only
all
business.
Called a big dose of D.
But you guys don't understand how small it is.
Yeah. The business being scrolling TikTok instead of watching TV. That's the business that's happening. All right.
Magic happens.
215-592-9494. Miles Garrett, Tush Push. We continue to talk to you about both. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up in 1.5 hour, we have the top 5 at 5. You never know what you're going to learn during the top 5 at 5. You know, I think it's always a heartwarming story when somebody can come from, like, when a baseball player has been in the minor leagues for so long and then is finally in the major leagues, right, Ike? When a player who's been in the minors for so long is finally in the majors, finally hits the big time.
A true underdog story.
A true underdog story. And here we have the WIP Morning Show's own James Seltzer finally getting the opportunity to be in the big leagues here on the WIP Afternoon Show. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, what an honor. Let me get this right. Hi, Spike. Hi, Ike. Hi, Jack.
There
Fritz,
you go.
Fritz, F-R-I-T-Z.
I know how you guys are doing.
Well, actually, my name goes first.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my fault. My fault. That's correct. That's the one I agree with on the show all the time. So it's just nice to know this whole time, you know, I listen to the show. I'm friends with you guys. I see you all the time. I'm passionate about a million things. And you're like, oh, you know what? Tush-push. That's the thing to finally bring Seltzer.
Well, you're an expert on tushes.
Perfect.
Yes, you're Mr. Tush. Well, we didn't want to disturb your 3-week celebration of the Super Bowl.
It ain't over yet. Yeah. Like, 3 weeks. I mean, try the rest of the year, man.
Well,
like,
let me ask you this.
I will celebrate forever.
Let me ask you this, James, before we get into the Tush-push. Because I was on with you guys this morning to talk about Embiid. You asked me about the Tush Push. Before we get to that, you did mention, talking about the celebration, you did mention on Twitter, this is the best day of my life. And you are married with a child. And I'm wondering if there was any reverberations within your family when you noted that the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and then the parade were the best weeks of your life when you do have a child and a wife.
Yes. First and foremost, I said one of the best days of my life.
Okay.
But also, let me point out that I was with that wife and child for that day. So, yeah, it was awesome because I was with them and got to have this magical experience. My brother came down. We were friends with family celebrating an amazing thing.
Oh, my God.
Like, I mean, come on. Like,
we just did it in 2018. Like, it was only 6 years ago. Hey, come on.
Yeah.
Well, it's 7 years.
We round down to make points.
Okay.
I was wondering how long it would take till you pop in there.
So you know, the reason we wanted to have you on is when we first were meeting during the show, we all realized that we were sort of ambivalent about them, you know, setting up a rule against the Tush Push. And I was this morning, and then I heard Nick Sirianni talk, and he actually swayed me, and I'm on the other side. But I would like to give you the stage to give your passionate plea as to why the NFL should not make the Tush Push illegal.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, Spike, I want to say that I'm proud of you for being willing to change your opinion in this situation and come to the right side of things. I'm surprised, but I'm proud.
Doesn't happen very often.
No,
yeah,
no.
Not happen very often.
That's why I'm surprised. But because it's clearly the right side of things. I mean, the arguments against this thing are it's not a skill. Well, then why can only one team execute it properly? Like, if it's not a skill, then how can none of you do it correctly? You've all tried. All these teams try it. They do their version of the Tush Push, and you can't execute it. So, A, that's a ridiculous argument. The second thing, like, it's not aesthetically pleasing. It doesn't look like football. It doesn't look that different from a quarterback sneak, which has been a part of football forever. It's basically the same thing. And then on top of that, like, people use, like, the camera this morning using, like, well, it's like the neutral zone trap in hockey. Get rid of that. The 3 second clock in basketball. It's like, no, it's not. That changes the entire three-hour game you're watching, the way the game is played. This is like, what, 2 plays a game, 3 plays a game, at most like 5 plays a game? It's like 30 seconds.
Yeah, about 5.
Time. Like, what are we talking about here? This is just a situation. Oh, and then the injury thing. Have you guys seen anyone get hurt on a Tush Push? Has an Eagle ever gotten hurt on the Tush Push? We've never heard of it. They've been running it for 4 years now or whatever. Like, I just feel like every argument that's brought to the table is nonsense. It's just teams don't like that the Eagles can do it, and they can't. And they're just like, well, you know what? We're tired of it.
Well, why?
Well, I think a lot of defensive coaches believe that they are at a disadvantage. That's why I'm not surprised that the guys that you've, other than the Packers GM, but, you know, Raheem Morris is a defensive guy. Sean McDermott is a defensive guy. I'm not sure if anybody else spoke up about it, but I can understand where defensive coaches feel like they are helpless with this play and doing this. It's already stacked against defenses as far as what's permitted with offenses and it being an offensive league. This is one of those situations where, it's a great advantage for us. They're not doing anything illegal. Let me just get that clear. They're doing everything within the rules of the game. But from a defensive standpoint, I can sort of understand where they feel like I'm helpless out here, right?
Well,
when we're not allowed, like, in other words, I don't think the defense, I guess they could be, but the defense isn't, I don't know if they're not allowed to or they just don't do it. But I don't see defensive players lining up behind the defensive linemen and pushing them because they have to worry about defending the field.
Right, the rest of the
field.
They can't
because now the Eagles are running variations off the play, passing play, so they don't even have the ability to combat like a scrum in rugby to where you got both sides pushing against each other, and it's mono versus mono. This is somewhat of a disadvantage for a defense, so I can understand why they want it out of there.
But it's all to that point. It's only a disadvantage for teams playing the Eagles. They can stop.
That is true. Yes.
It's like for one team, we're gonna because this team runs this play so effectively that we're like, well, that's unfair to us defenses. But we can stop it when these other teams run it. Like if it were something where every team in the league ran it and it was this automatic play that was never stopped, it's like all right. Like then I can kind of maybe understand where it's like a league-wide thing, and it's for the good of the game because this is an unstoppable play and it takes out the drama of third and one, fourth and one. But the Eagles are the only team that executes it. And by the way, McDermott, we're talking out both sides of his mouth. I mean, that guy ran Tush Pushes this year. So
yeah.
It's like, how am I supposed to take that seriously when you're like, well, I'm going to run them, but also I'm really worried about my defensive guys. So, like, I just can't take that very seriously.
Well, honestly, at the end of the day, this is on the league, and the teams can scream and cry all they want. I'm a little disappointed that the league would look at it and just say, now, truly, at the end of the day, the league has to answer to the teams.
The owners, yes.
Yeah, the league doesn't exist with, you know what I mean?
Yes.
There is no league. But I guess the thing that I would love to hear from Troy Vincent, if I was able to hear from Troy Vincent, and I think this is the point that Nick Sirianni made, and you made it there, James, is if it is an injury issue, please tell me how. Like, tell me how it's an injury issue. I would like to see the science on it because I can't think of injuries. Now when I watch it, I'm always waiting for an injury.
Right.
Every time I watch it, I'm convinced somebody's going to get hurt. But I haven't seen anybody get hurt, so I just wonder why they think it is such an injury risk. Because they don't talk about the aesthetics of it. Troy Vincent talked about the safety of it.
Right.
So I just want to know, okay, well, what? Because if the league doesn't step in, I can't think of any reason why 24 teams wouldn't vote to get rid of it.
Well, here's the thing. There's no data to support the injury part of it.
Yep.
Nick had that ready to go.
Yep.
So they know this is more or less of teams viewing it as a competitive disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
When it's really not a competitive disadvantage, this is why ultimately I think those that love the tush push, you don't have to worry about it. I don't think it's going anywhere because I don't think the league can explain why they're getting rid of it.
There's no evidence other than
other teams are just complaining about it. Like, they really can't come up with the data that shows that this is a higher risk play for injury, right? The aesthetically pleasing part of it, they sound crazy saying that, right? And this doesn't look good to everybody. So they would have to come up with some other sort of scientific reasoning where it would make sense to the public. And I don't know if 24 teams would actually vote in favor of this.
That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, you might get a handful of teams that are like, yeah, we want to get rid of this, but I don't know if 24 other teams are going to vote on this.
Here's my idea. We should have the Million Tush March in Philadelphia.
Just tushes all that?
Everybody's tush. We had, like,
we just had a million people out here.
Well, there are a lot of tushes there. There are a lot of tushes there, you know?
And they weren't being pushed.
Yep.
Well,
some of them were.
Some of them were.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Everybody pushes everyone else's tush and the safely and respectfully at this march, but that's what's going to happen.
Well, it got weird.
Well, look.
Well, it gets weird on this show.
Yeah. All right, James. Well, now that I'm on your side, I can't fight with you because I agree with you. I think the best point you made, and I thought about this, is if every team was doing it, if a lot of teams were doing it successfully,
right,
then I understand the argument against it. It takes the drama out of the play. But if it's just one team, I think it's an interesting storyline. If it's every team, it sort of makes the game worse. If it's one team, I think it's a storyline. And I am interested to see what happens with this. There is drama. All right, Seltzer. What time do you go to bed?
So normally earlier than I have to take my daughter to gymnastics in a little bit. So after that, so usually I try and get to bed between like 7 and 7:30. On like lucky nights, it's like 6:30, but that's rare. But it's all because baseball season's coming. And then once baseball season starts, I'm going to have to stay up at the games. So
why do you
go to bed so early? Squeeze in the sleep when I can, you know?
Why do you go to bed so early?
Because I wake up at 3:30 or 3:50 in the morning or whatever it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
I mean, don't you live in the city?
You set that up. That was good. That was really clever. Well done.
So, last question, James. Who is easier to deal with at you know, 5 in the morning before the show starts, Joe DiCamera or John Ritchie?
Oh,
like, who is more troubling
is
at
really...
5 a.m.?
The question is, who's easier to deal with?
Who's more troubling? Who's more troubling to look at?
Troubling to look at, I mean...
Come on.
But I mean, this is they're both troubling in their own way. I was the
It's the camera.
We know it's the camera.
Yeah, it's the camera.
All right, James.
All right, brother.
Passion. now that I finally made it on the show?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Great job.
Awesome. We got to have you back soon.
Welcome to the big leagues, Chris Ghost.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
There he is.
James, if I record the pod tomorrow, we'll find out.
James Seltzer, you can hear him on the WIP Morning Show every morning with Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, James Seltzer, Rhea Hughes, occasionally Devin Caney.
Davis, Ruben Amaro Jr.,
Now,
Mike
how many
Quick.
Names are in the show? I can't even think of how many names are in the show.
Wasn't it isn't DeCamera?
DeCamera in the morning show.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
And the morning team?
I think it's the Joe DeCamera show featuring other people
exactly
the official
right.
name of the show.
He's lucky there's even team there. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Angelo at least was like Angelo in the morning team, right?
Yes.
I think DeCamera, the first thing he did was take team out of it.
Yes. Oh, it's not a team.
Not
it's a one-guy operation.
And they continue to disrespect Kenny from the Dirty 30.
They do, just by calling him Kenny.
Yeah, every time they go to him, it's like, all right, let's go to Kenny.
Yeah.
No one knows who Kenny is.
Yeah, Kenny from the Dirty 30.
Kenny from Villanova does not hit.
No.
The
no.
same as Kenny from the Dirty 30.
No. Are they calling him Kenny from Villanova?
No, they just call him Kenny.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't say that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not right.
Well, in
it's
fairness.
Like, it's like when Carson went run Nick Foles stuff.
Yeah. Remember those plays?
That's what it's like.
That is a little bit what it's like. Well, I mean, in fairness, Kenny wasn't even actually in the Dirty 30.
Oh, right. Here we go.
Well, he was in the Dirty 30. He wasn't. At
there.
The Donovan thing.
He wasn't there.
But he likes to pretend.
Yes. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Should the Eagles do whatever it takes to trade for Myles Garrett? What do you think the response on that is, Ike? Should the Eagles do whatever it takes to trade for Myles Garrett?
This is interesting. Because Eagles fans know how great of a player Myles Garrett is.
They do.
But
there is that but. I know
these Eagles fans, man, first of all, we love our own players, especially when we win.
The Super Bowl,
the
yes.
The Super Bowl, yes. So they're going to be in love with the young players. And no one hoards draft picks like we do.
Yes. And
as a fan base.
And as a fan base, when we suggest trades, it's always like, how about we give you these two players
right.
we don't
yes.
want?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, people don't mind giving up Bryce Huff and somebody else.
Oh, too many Bryce Huff ideas.
Yes. Nobody wants Bryce Huff. There's a little the secret to everybody.
So I'll say, let's go 70% no.
58% no.
Oh, so I was higher.
Yeah.
That's a little closer than I thought it was. Yeah, 60-40, okay.
Yeah, people are in love with these players, but not. It's still
Myles Garrett is still Myles Garrett, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Well, because you put him next to Jalen Carter, and it's so hard not to dream on that.
Oh,
I agree. That's a nice dream. A
lot of nastiness there.
Oh, man.
Not enough players. You don't have enough guys to double-team everybody. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You have those two guys. Like, you should.
Remember Myles Garrett hit whatchamacallit with the helmet?
Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, Mason Rudolph.
He hit him with the helmet?
Yeah.
Like he swung the helmet?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
No.
He got suspended.
Dude.
I don't remember it, no.
It probably was the only time I was mad at Myles Garrett.
Yeah, it was a tough look.
I snapped that night on Twitter.
Why did he do it? Did he get beat? Was that his?
He got hit from behind. You know, Pittsburgh and Cleveland rival.
Yep.
So it's a game on Monday night. I think one of the Pittsburgh linemen hit Myles Garrett from behind or something like that. Helmet came off and he blacked out. He swung the helmet and literally hit Mason Rudolph on the top of his head with the helmet. Like Mason Rudolph, it was Mason Rudolph's helmet.
He hit. Oh, so Mason Rudolph didn't even have a helmet on.
Didn't even have a helmet on.
Can't do that, man.
Dude.
Can't do that. Though I like the nastiness.
Oh, listen, gotta have it.
Like
he also
nastiness.
Jumped over the Eagles' special
well,
teams.
Now
that
I remember.
Yeah, that
to block
I do remember.
A field
yeah.
goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Saquon just jumping over people on both sides of the both sides
Dude,
of the field.
A little squat off between Garrett, Saquon, and Jalen.
And Jalen?
Who's winning?
I got Saquon.
It's a lot of tushes.
Yeah, I think Saquon. Was
it,
did he squat more than Jalen? Remember they had the little squat thing last year? Was that,
that
the same amount of weight or?
I forget.
I got Saquon.
When they were admiring each other's quads?
Yeah. Next Eagles, autism, radiothon thing. They need a squat off.
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
215-592-9494. Dylan in North Carolina, you're on WIP.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Dylan?
I want to appreciate the pre-offs you have. It's free to the listeners who don't have it. I'm in the middle of North Carolina listening to you guys.
Love it.
I'm very grateful for that.
There you go. Odyssey app. And the rewind feature, in case you miss any moment over the last 2 days, you can just go back and listen to it.
Exactly. And I want to say one more thing.
Yes.
Sean McDermott, You are not a diva. You do not care about stats. I'm going to get all the things wrong about you, but there's one thing I can get right. You are not a champion. Bird, baby.
He is. Sean McDermott is not a champion.
Not a champion.
You got it's that right.
Play. It's a 1 yard play. It's not a big deal. The fact that we perfect it and they all complain, man, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
Million. We got to have. We have signs. Sean, you're a coward at the Million Tush March. Are you at the Million Tush March? Are you going to come up from North Carolina for it?
Maybe if I'm back in time.
Can you imagine that the Tush masks everybody would wear? The Tush t-shirts?
Oh, dude.
Mask.
I need to order one.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll come up with anything, won't we?
Yes. You could see Lake. Thank you for the call, Della. You could see Lake. I'm sure Lake in somewhere.
Yeah, but so. It wasn't his idea, so.
Well, so he'll take it and make it his idea.
He usually does.
To tell the Midday Show to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll do it first yeah. And then leading into our show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chuck of Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
What up, fellas? What's going on?
What's up, Chuck? The Foxhole guy, afternoon show caller, officially. Now, Jack wasn't here when you declared it, so I'm glad yeah. that he's here for this now.
So you want me to declare it again? Let me guess.
Well, just for Jack.
They just want to humiliate me, don't you?
No, humiliate? You kidding? This is the show.
Be a proud
Jack,
moment.
I'm sure Jack was listening, man. I don't got to say it twice. I said it already.
Well,
Jack,
it seems like it's painful.
I'm a Foxhole guy.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right.
Come on.
All right.
Hey, listen, you guys want to hear something funny? So, the other day I was sitting home, right? And my son came to me and said, hey, Dad, I think he retired. And he said, look, and he has this Twitter, this X thing. Man, it was fake news. You know, when I seen it, they made it look so real.
You got Centel instead of NBA Central. It's NBA Centel.
Yeah, Centel. Yeah, that's what I got. I don't know, though. But I was so happy when I seen that news, and it wasn't true. You know, my thing is this, right, Spike? Why don't you guys just retire? Call it quits.
Well,
you know what I mean? He had a career. Just retire.
Well, you know what I mean? but don't you give him credit for not retiring? He could retire and get all his money. By the way, he could medically retire from the NBA and get every penny he's owed. So the fact that he wants to come back and play, you have to give him credit for that. He could get every penny and still retire, but he wants to come back and play.
I don't want him here no more, so I'll give him more credit if he retires.
I feel you on that one. I feel you on that one.
Oh, yeah. Chuck is the last person to get to take a victory lap. Now he's taking his victory lap.
Don't you think it's a little sad, though, to take a victory? It's one thing to take a victory lap if he fails. It's another thing to take a victory lap because the guy's knee hurt so bad he can't play. Like that part
of it
is,
heart, Chuck.
Yeah, that part sucks, I think. You know, I understand what you're saying, but you know what I mean?
No. Don't make me out to be the bad guy.
Sometimes you're the bad guy.
He's failed us many times.
He did.
You know what I mean? And this is a makeup for the failures.
You celebrate the failures too. Also, we had tears in your eyes when you talk about how much you loved him last year during the Knicks series.
I never said I loved the guy. I would never say I love that guy. You know what I mean?
Get the call, Jack.
You say out your mouth so easily that he's the greatest 76er talent wise we've ever seen.
Well, he is.
I don't know. I'm not so sure. No, he's not.
Talent-wise? Who's
Iverson.
Better?
He's not more talented than Allen Iverson.
Yes, he
no,
is.
No, he's not. You can stop that. He hasn't even... Listen, Allen Iverson had the Rockovia Center jumping in June.
That doesn't make him more talented.
Yes, it does.
No, we're talking about two different things. Allen Iverson made the finals. Joel Embiid didn't. But Joel Embiid's certainly the most talented Sixer I've ever seen.
No, what makes him more talented? He has an Al Jefferson game, man.
These last 4 years, he's the best scorer pretty much in NBA history, and he was also the centerpiece of their defense. I'm sorry, he's a better scorer than Iverson. He's a better defender than Iverson. He's certainly more talented than Iverson.
Well, he's taller. It's easier for him to score.
Oh, don't you do Ike's thing.
That doesn't mean anything. He's taller. He's not even more excited. He's never been more excited than Allen Iverson. He's a born look. His game is born. His game is
born. The peak and beat was not boring.
You see, you're rewriting history. You're rewriting history. I'm sorry, Chuck. You are. You can be happy that he's probably not going to play, you know, very much anymore. But also, he's there's no questioning how good he was when he played.
He's okay. He's okay.
He's the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah. You guys go too far. Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Eighth wonder of my ass. Come on, man. The guy couldn't even got the second round. He's so talented.
You haven't even apologized to Jalen Hurts yet.
Well, Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback.
Okay,
wonderful, magnificent quarterback. Yeah. Listen, let me say this. But Sean McDermott is a hater, and everything that he's ever done, he's overrated, okay? Sean McDermott hates the Eagles because Nick Sirianni has his ass in a box, and he can't get out of it unless Nick Sirianni says, you can get out of it. You understand what I'm saying? Every time Nick Sirianni plays the Rams, we beat them. And he just
Sean McVay, okay, yeah.
Yeah, McVay. Was it McDermott or
It was McDermott. He's the coach of the Bills, and Sean McVay is the coach of the Rams.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Well, I don't know. They both lose it.
You are a jackass lunatic.
Which one was who?
Well, Sean McVay won a Super Bowl, so I don't know that you can call him a loser.
Well, how many years ago was that?
Three.
I mean, we got our diamonds. Like I tell everybody else, we got the most diamonds
it was
in
the
every 50s. Ring.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can talk like that because we're champions right now.
We are.
So
we are.
I'm riding my high right now.
You absolutely.
We are high.
Absolutely. Else has done in the past.
Yeah.
Okay? We just stopped a three-peat, and I tell you, this 30 for 30, I could produce it. Anybody listening, man, I tell you, between Nick Sirianni and Hurts to start the season, A.J. Brown and Hurts in the middle of the season, stopping the three-peat. You know what I'm saying? Vic Fangio coming from Miami to here. Can you guys see it? And making the number one defense out of young guys drafted out of Georgia. Man, it's 30 for 30. I tell you, 15, 20 years from now, it's going to be crazy.
Right.
Crazy. Yeah, and it's going to be a lot of money. Chuck Fumaneri is the producer as well. Let me know. I will produce that thing and put it together.
All right.
I like it.
30 for 30 on a team that won one Super Bowl is... You know,
that's tough.
A lot of misinformation in Chuck's call there.
Just furious about Sean McDermott.
Yeah. Coach of the Rams. Head coach of the Rams, Sean McDermott.
I think Sirianni, I don't know if he's ever played the Bills. Have they ever played the Bills?
Yeah, oh, was like that 2 years
beat
ago.
Last year.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Remember
when the
gauntlet, the Chiefs and the Bills. And,
well, that was the last big win. That was the last win.
Yep. And then the 49ers ended the season.
Yeah.
5 games before the season actually ended. Yeah, Jack, what's coming up in the top 5 at 5, which everyone loves?
Yeah, something happened to me.
Oh, boy.
Today. For the first time in my life.
Okay.
Oh. It's a monumental moment. Ike was there for it. We'll break it down in the top 5 at 5.
Huh. First time. Did you read a whole article?
First I was about to be like, what the hell is he talking about?
You read a whole article?
Now I do know what he's talking about.
Okay. All right. That's next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.